Welcome to the Monthly Trainwreck, a show entirely based upon anonymity. We only go by alias names, so our professional lives may never cross. Even our guests go undisclosed to protect the innocent. Recorded in our top secret headquarters, this episode we interview Dr. S, chiropractor to professional sports, including the US Open, APV Volleyball, and the NFL Combine. We discuss alternative healing, health and wellness, along with chiropractic service. This episode is brought to you by our favorite sponsors, veteran-owned company Zook & Lou Hats and Natural Solutions by Nicole. You can find their links on our website, monthlytrainwreck.com, under the headline, Friends of the Show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to sit back, relax, and climb. All aboard! All right, train wreckers, welcome back for another exciting episode here of the Monthly Train Wreck. We have chiropractor to the professional athlete with us today. We're going to get into it. But before we do, how is everyone, by the way? I feel like I haven't...
How are our backs or how are we just doing?
I haven't seen the train wreck in a long time.
I have a random pain to my left. Oh, no. Ouch. Come on, Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood was picked on quite a bit last night.
She said I did that because she said she was going to be prepared today to come after it. She was going to bring it with both barrels today.
Yeah, she and Kramer have teamed up.
And we formed an alliance.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I said will fold immediately.
It was a secret alliance that we announced in front of everybody as soon as the alliance was made.
And prior to recording, sure enough, Kramer went right for the jugular, and Hollywood looked at him like, well, where's the alliance?
Well, before we get started, as always, we start with our favorite veteran-owned company, Zook & Lou Hats, which Kramer, by the way, missed the last episode. The golden ticket. It was a big one.
I was jealous.
Did you miss your flight? You missed your flight.
I missed my flight. I mean, then I tried to get a boat to Sitka, and the ferry had left.
Slow.
Well, I'm going to go to the Magic Closet.
Oh, man.
We missed you, Kramer.
You never know what's in this
thing. We usually don't open this till the end of the show.
Two clowns in there, too. I wore mine this morning on my walk. I love it.
All right, so Doc, you're going to get a Zook & Lou hat, the fleece beanie.
Oh, boy, that is fantastic.
They are comfy, cozy.
Look at that swag. Yeah. Holy cow.
And as Hambone likes to call it, the fleenie.
That's right. And it is made from polar bear hair. So it's super warm and environmentally
it's
friendly.
It's local from Sitka.
Yeah.
Local,
yeah.
Fantastic.
It's a polar bear farm, and they shave the polar bears about every 6 months.
That's a good job.
Kramer
That's
will run job. Across the glacier with a piece of beef jerky, and the polar bear will chase him, and then Hollywood will tackle it and shave it. And
it's breathtaking. Not easy.
No, it's so strong.
It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort for this.
But it's worth it.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
I will now that I know the story behind it.
The stitching is unicorn hair, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
So,
and I was just going to show you, this is the best part about the Fleeny.
What?
These on the sides are sunglass holders.
Oh.
Yeah, they're not. It's not a. Yeah, man. It's not a Velcro.
So you
holder.
Put the arms inside the Velcro.
Yep, and it holds your sunglasses.
That's genius.
You stole Roy Orbison's sunglasses, though.
Maddie, Roy Orbison's not using his glasses.
God, he
That's
has.
Why
them.
He has yeah, them.
Correct.
That's
why I have them.
So Kramer gets the Roy Orbison glasses with the Zook & Lou.
Look at that.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Give it to me, Kramer.
All right. Well, let's get started. We're here with Dr. S. That's your alias you're going by today. Professional chiropractor who has worked many professional sporting events, which includes working with the US Open, APV Volleyball, and the NFL Combine. Thank you for letting us fly you in here to podcast headquarters,
Sitka, Alaska.
Thank you for having me.
And let's get started. The famous first question is one for the ages. So you are answering this question for all chiropractors out there.
Oh dear God.
For across the world.
All right.
Is a chiropractor actually a doctor?
That's where I was going to go.
Starting it off on that one.
Goodness.
Yes. So, yes, chiropractors are actually true doctors. We do have the same medical training that your MD does for the majority of the education. Where we differ comes in how we treat patients. So we get all the same basic anatomy, physiology, all of that, and then we diverge where we go into treatment. So we get 5 times the amount of radiology training. We get to learn, you know, how to adjust patients and move bones, whereas the average MD would not get that. So yes, we are actual true doctors.
So if somebody had a heart attack on your table, you are certified to do CPR. You're going to try
bring or at least hide the body.
we're good about hiding bodies, yes. We literally just went through CPR training maybe 2 weeks ago in our office. We actually bring someone in to go through all the latest. So, yes, as you're clutching your heart over here, if you need to.
Tambone is actually he's
more his left arm.
A gripper.
So it was just refresher training 2 weeks ago. It wasn't the first time you learned it.
No, it wasn't the first time. Yes.
Like, did you do the whole staying alive thing when you do the singing staying alive?
To get, count the rhythms. And sadly, when we talk about CPR, you really are, people that teach it say, you know, that patient pretty much is dead. You got to expect that they're done. And so anything that you do is going to be a positive to that patient. If you can pull them back, great. You've done a great job.
That's how we feel about Hambone's input to this podcast. I mean, it's pretty much done. If but you could any just contribute positive, something. Yeah, any positive input would be a win.
Otherwise, it's dead.
For the team. It's just dead.
He's just listening, nodding his head.
See what I did there? I just don't engage in it. Exactly.
Let it die. Let it die.
Who's Hambone teaming up with?
Exactly.
It's supposed to be.
All right, so.
Yeah, look how they turned on each other.
So chiropractors are real doctors, but are dentists?
Ooh,
oh, you're an anti-dentite.
Man, these are tough questions right off the bat.
No, absolutely.
I know, I'm teasing because Hambone's father-in-law is a dentist.
That's
and
right, he is.
He gets very defensive about the fact that
he does like people, to be called doctor.
Yes, that he's a doctor.
It's and not I went Mr. to med so-and-so, school. I didn't go to...
That's right.
By the way, I just realized we have shots of Screwball all over the table.
I have half of one.
So someone's
thirsty.
Already indulged. Real quick. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
And to Bart's mom.
Stuff.
Smooth.
It is smooth.
How many O's, Scotty?
Too many.
Too many.
So I did learn something about Dr. S from a mutual friend. You do not fly. Is that true? You drive to every single event that you go to. It could be in New York to L.A.
This is true. My past couple major events were in New York and in L.A. About 16, 17 years ago, I just decided that I didn't like flying anymore. So now I get to every event through driving. Yeah, it was one of those decisions. And I've been all over the world. I've actually practiced in Hungary for a little while. Been to Hawaii and Alaska numerous times, not just to come to the show.
You drove here today. That's what's amazing.
Yes, exactly right. When I go to places like this, I got to drive there. And it does take a while. One of the things that I have done over the past 4 or 5 years, I've worked with the U.S. Open Golf Championship. And so that location, once again, changes whether the tennis is actually, once again, in New York. But the Golf Championship goes to different venues. This year it was Wingfoot, New York. But previous last year was at Pebble Beach in California. And then it was back in the Hamptons again in New York and Shinnecock Hills prior to that. So to get to those events, I'm going back and forth in the car. And it does take a little while.
Is it like a fear of flying? And anxiety.
Did something happen?
Yeah, it does. It's more of an anxiety. I am one of those people that likes to be.
We have a surprise for you. Have you ever been in a prop plane?
I like to be in control. And when you're in the back of a plane stuffed in together, it just gives me a very uncomfortable feeling. Being in the studio gives me that little same vibe with you guys. But no, I'm just.
Is it conflicting? Because that many hours in a car, do you just think, God, this is bad for my back?
There's many times when I do have that thought process, and a lot of times I'll travel with my family, and they say that to me a lot as well. So every time that we stop, I'm out taking care of them, making sure that they're doing okay on the stops along the way as well. But as far as actually going commercial, I'm kind of the John Madden of
chiropractors.
John Madden. That just can't get back and forth on the commercial flights.
Well, maybe having a few of these screwballs, 5 or 6 ahead of time.
Screwball and some Benadryl.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A beta blocker and just call it a day when I get there. Someone can wake me up, kind of like B.A. Baracus. You know, you can just kind of shake me and get
A-team
get me
there. Reference.
That's right.
No, but the I want to circle back to kind of when you were talking about who's a doctor, who isn't. In alternative care.
Is this about Dr. J again?
Dr. J.
You won't let it go. Really he's not a physician.
I don't know. Have you seen that guy play? He's amazing.
He's surgical.
But is there an area of alternative medicine that you go, oh, that's just a sham?
Ooh, that's a good question. There's some that are pretty close to that I just don't know enough information about at this point to be able to say, yeah, that's true or not true. But as you start treating patients, you find out that there's lots of ways to help people. And even if it's a fringe-ish science or there's just not that great of research behind it, there's a lot of people that can get better.
There's
from
value
it.
In the placebo effect.
Exactly right. And so for me to say no on certain things, that's hard for me to do.
Kramer had a leeching this morning, and I think it went really well. He looks really vibrant.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you look great. You're glowing.
Where can I get some of these placebos?
It's at Barry the Wizard's office down on Castle Street. Where do you come down on like aromatherapy, speaking of that?
There's a lot of people that are out there with essential oils and aromatherapy.
Right. Crystals.
Very, very popular. And there's actually, amazingly, some really good research into essential oils. I've talked with a lot of the sales reps, and they like to bring their wares to my office and try to get me to sell them quite often. You know, I've done some studies into the research of it, and actually it's pretty legitimate. Once again, it's one of those things that people really can get positive care from. Results, are you going to have it cure absolutely every ail? Probably not, but there's some that can give some benefits to
maybe
it.
The supplement kind of to it to, yeah. to chiropractic care or some other type of care.
Exactly. It's one of those things that, you know, you add into your daily lifestyle to make sure that you're functioning at your optimum rather than, once again, curing a whole lot of things.
I'm on saffron right now. Took a lot of saffron this morning.
For
what? It just keeps you even keeled, your emotions.
He's got a weird toenail fungus we haven't identified yet, so we're just trying a number of things out. Rub some rosemary on
there. It was
a bag
of saffron rice. That's all he had. So he just You're on saffron. Foot, which helped his cell phone the other day when he dropped it in the water.
Pound for pound is like the most expensive thing on the planet.
I don't know. I'm just making that up. I don't know.
So, yeah, so going back, so CBD these days is in everything. Oh, we talk man. About essential oils. CBD is something that kind of came on the scene a few years back, and now all of a sudden everybody's advertising it. It's in this and that. It can cure everything. Are you a person that believes in the CBD applications, or you think it's just overdone now?
So, yeah, it's way overdone. It's one of those things that, you know, if you're buying it from your local gas station. That
or drug dealer, pharmacist, what have you.
There's got to be some issues with that. And so there's different regulations. It's actually more regulated than people realize as far as the quantity of, you know, THC or the quantity of the active ingredient in it. And to actually sell stuff that has the active ingredient in it, you actually have to either get it through a pharmacy or through a medical professional. And so the stuff that you're getting over the counter a lot of times really has no active ingredient. And it might actually come from partially from CBD, but there's very little actual benefit that you get from it. So once again, getting back to placebo, if people are taking it and like, this is great stuff. Hey, go right at it. You know, enjoy it as much as you can.
But, does it have some, the real CBD? Do you believe that it has some therapeutic qualities?
Yeah, absolutely. I do believe that there's some applications to that. And there's a lot of people with anxiety issues, such as myself. I have personally haven't tried it yet that have shown some benefits. There's other ailments. It has some studies that show, once again, some general aches and pains that are getting benefits from it. But once again, there's more studies that need to be done to really hash out some of the claims that are being made for it.
Mm-hmm. What about meth? Because Hollywood keeps trying getting me to try this thing she calls meth. I don't know.
It works.
It's just to reduce your anxiety?
Totally.
That's where
I don't feel
three
any
teeth
pain.
Went. I was wondering what happened
right.
to those.
Yeah. And they fell out.
Teeth are overrated.
Should I say that we don't promote meth in any way?
Yeah, probably should.
I literally implied that my coworker here tried to sell me meth in the parking lot.
The next 20 minutes will all be disclaimers.
Fantastic. Is there a particular case that you can think of, obviously not revealing any sort of patient details, where it was really transformative for someone, or a case that you're particularly proud of?
I had a mother come in, and her baby was very young and very colicky, and just would not sleep, was extraordinarily uncomfortable. This is about 2 months, 3 months into life, and the mom comes in just totally frazzled, hasn't slept virtually for those 3 months, and said, hey, you know, I heard that chiropractic might have some things to help out. Is there anything? Is there anything that you can do for me? And so I said, I don't know, let's take a look. So we went through, did an exam, checked out the baby, and said, you know, there's some issues here that if we can work with, you know, we'll see what happens. And sure enough, take care of the child, send the mom home. She comes back the next day, and I said, okay, you know, how did it go? And she said, doc, it was the first night my baby has slept through the entire night. And, you know, continue to treat the patient for a while. Mom comes back in, you know, in a week, and she's obviously, she's got color back in her face again, and she's, you know, looks like she's rested, and she once again was able to go through and be a, you know, better mother for that. Those kind of cases are just one of those things.
That's
that
awesome.
Just, yeah, it's awesome.
I'm a huge chiropractor fan. I go probably every other week. And I love it. But I know it also does other things. I know colicky babies. I mean, tell us what other types of things people might not know.
The real central concept of chiropractic is that your brain controls the entire body. And your brain essentially talks to your body either directly or indirectly through your nerves. So if there's any kind of impairment to your nervous system, it's impossible for your body to work properly or to be healthy in its optimal form. So I go in as a chiropractor and try to find out where there's potential issues to the spine that can be affecting, you know, the nervous system. And as a result, as your nervous system functions better, then you can have other improvements in other areas. Once again, through things like allergies, that's a real common one that I hear patients say that they do better with. Heartburn, digestive issues, those are another really common one that we work with. Infertility issues, once again, a lot of patients wouldn't necessarily think of chiropractic in those grounds, but that's something that we absolutely get really good results with.
Speaking of fertility, 15 years ago, the joke in my house was that my wife's chiropractor was able to get her pregnant. Went to the chiropractor, was adjusted, was able to get pregnant. 15 years later, I meet you, Dr. S. I tell my wife who our next guest is on the show, and she says, "That's the guy. That's the guy. That's the chiropractor who was able to get me pregnant."
So your daughter does look like Dr. S.
The doctor got her pregnant.
Yeah. So I'm going to show you a picture of your daughter.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. You know,
this is revealing here today.
And he charged insurance, which I thought was really.
Sometimes the starting pitcher isn't getting it done. You got to call in some relief, and I was ready to answer the call on that.
Bring in the bullpen.
And so early on in my practice, that wasn't really something that I had looked to do. But as a result, I ended up actually becoming really good about that. And I kept statistics in my office that women who had come in that had previously been unable to conceive, that their doctor said, unfortunately, this is just not going to be part of your future. And after care, were able to conceive. I mean, once again, these are huge things. To be able to play a role in someone's life like that is really outstanding.
Dr. S, male prostitute.
Now, I'm a believer as well. I'm a fan. I 20 years ago went for, had an injury, tried it out. It seemed like there was more skepticism back then. However, I am a cynic, and here's my question, because I was kind of joking around about this ahead of time. I'll go in when I have my shoulders out, or I was lifting and did something weird, and I go in one or two times and I can tell instantly that I feel better. And I always think, why didn't I do this sooner? But do you have to go? I know that a lot of the chiropractors would love for me to come every week, but can I go one or two or three times and get some of that relief? Or do you feel that it's one of those things that I should do all the time as preventative?
I'm an empowerer of people. I try to give people options as far as their goals and their health are concerned. So it really comes down to whatever goal you have as far as your life is concerned. Some people, and all they want is pain management. Some people want to prevent pain from happening in the future. Then we put them on kind of a preventative scale. We have another group of patients that comes in for performance care, and that's where a lot of our athletes come in. They don't have pain, they don't have discomfort, but they want to make sure that their body's functioning at their optimum. They want that extra inch, they want that extra yard. So it really depends on your healthcare goals as to how frequent you come into the doctor.
Hollywood, you like that extra inch, don't you?
Extra 2 inches, preferably.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
That's all.
Welcome to the train wreck, Dr. S.
Wait, is she pregnant now?
It worked 3 times. Thanks, Doc.
Do you think, so I've noticed because I've been...
It happened so quickly, I blinked. Did it happen right there? Rock star.
But you'll have to come in for repeated treatments, I think.
That's fine.
So I've been going to a chiropractor for many, many years, like Maddie. I've seen different chiropractors who've had different styles for how they do their adjustments. Is there a particular style that you believe is really effective, and then some you're just kind of like, the guys that do that, they're just kind of out there?
Absolutely, and that gets back to, once again, another question they had as far as other fringe types of care. Yeah, there's a lot of other fringe types of chiropractic as well. What I practice is very mainstream chiropractic. The school that I went to is known as kind of being the fountainhead of chiropractic. It's very central and foundational as far as what most other doctors practice. But there are some out there that give us a little bit of a rough name from time to time. I've heard stories of chiropractors adjusting shadows and chiropractors adjusting,
Casper the Friendly Ghost had an incredibly out of line situation and repaired that immediately.
All sorts of really interesting things going on in offices. And unfortunately, just like every profession, there's good and bad chiropractors, there's good and bad plumbers, there's good and bad podcasts. And so, once again, you want to align yourself with the good ones rather than stay away from the bad ones.
That's why you're here.
Yeah, listen, man, exactly, can you fix this shit?
This one needs an adjustment.
So what's... I think Hollywood had a stroke. Grab her tongue. She's not well. Okay.
CPR. Right. So I mean, here's kind of a root question. I've met chiropractors who are like, chiropractic can fix anything, any ailment, any issue, any situation.
Automotive issues, whether it's the exhaust or the chassis.
So are you in, which camp are you in? Like, we can do a lot of things, we can do everything.
The scope of where we go is a tough one. There are lots of doctors that say, yep, I'm going to do everything. You name it, bring it in, I got you, I'm going to take care of it. I fall just slightly in from that group. I'm not someone that says that I'm going to fix your cancer. I'm not someone that says, you know, I'm going to fix that broken bone that you have. There are certain things that are outside of my scope as far as what I feel I can practice with. But there's some other doctors out there that they do fall into that side of things. And not to say that they don't get great results, but literature doesn't necessarily always back up some of the claims that they have, unfortunately. And I try to err on the side of literature and studies as much as possible. There's some things that I've gotten into that are not necessarily double-blind studied, but we get really good results with.
That's this is not Ray legit. Charles and Stevie Wonder, by the way.
Double-blind. We had to explain that one.
Thanks.
So what's interesting about this is you've all been to a chiropractor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've never. And I find more and more people in my life talking about it. And when I was a young child, my mom did some research at a really large music festival here in Sitka, Alaska. And it was on chiropractors. And this was like 20 years ago. And it was asking, and through that experience, I was left with the impression that it was utter quackery. And to what you alluded to before, and I'll get to the question of how I want you to reconcile this for me and for any listeners maybe in the same position. My impression was you go once and then you're hooked and you got to go back and you're never going to be the same again because you always have to go get your adjustments. And I will say that the people that I interact with, that seems to be the situation. They end up going more and more and more. How do you respond to something like that?
Yeah, feeling good is pretty addictive. And so people want to continue to feel good and continue want to work and live in their optimum abilities. So you don't, for my patients, I never force them to come in. That's not something that I say, you will die if you don't come in. Unfortunately, there are some chiropractors out there that do that, but that's just not the type of care that I provide. So for those patients, you know, once again, if they want to continue on the care, great. I'm happy to help them out. But no, it's not necessarily something that you have to continue to do. All of our bodies are essentially a product of the stress that we place them under and respond to, you know, physical stress, chemical stress, emotional stress. All these stresses impact us. And to what degree our body can manage those stresses varies. There's a general adaptive potential that we have, and we can manage so much stress and we can't manage so much stress. And so if you get outside of that stress, sometimes your body needs help. And that's where we come in and we say, okay, let's get your body to be functional again so that it can do the things that it needs to do. And so some people, once again, live very stressful lives. You know, if you're a nurse and you work hard hours in stressful environments and lifting heavy patients and don't eat regular meals because you're always on call or doing different things, those people might need more care. They might need to come in more frequently. But if you're a little child who's just happy-go-lucky, running outside every day, eating healthy, doing all sorts of things, just a good cleanup every once in a while might be really all that they need.
What does that entail? As a person who doesn't know and doesn't understand, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who would love to understand and potentially take advantage of what's available, what do you do? I understand there's digital manipulation of this and that, or maybe I'm wrong, but like, how could you dumb it down for the lowest common denominator and help me understand? Correct. You're right.
Sure.
Dullards of the world.
When a patient comes in, our job is to assess and evaluate all the tissues of the body that we can. And
so it's not just bones, it's tissue as well.
And exactly right. And that's where a lot of patients just come to think that all we do is deal with bones, but really we work with muscles and discs, and joints and nerves, all sorts of different tissues, ligaments, to get them to function at their optimum. Whereas most doctors that you think of, they look at the body as an individual piece, and we try to look at the body overall as a whole. And so we're assessing all of these tissues and how they work together. When you come in, we try to figure out what's working and what isn't, if it's a bone or a joint that needs work, or if it's a muscle that's pulling those bones out of place, or, you know, whatever. We try to figure that out, and then we go towards correcting those issues. A lot of times, chiropractors are known for doing different things like adjusting bones. Once again, we're removing bones into a better, healthier position. And it sounds crazy to be able to move bones around, but it's actually really, really easy to do. Now that YouTube is out there and there's a lot of chiropractors that are putting videos out online, you can see actually what that actually looks like. And of course, those are made for views, and so they're sensationalized. And
Kramer makes some bone-moving movies that he puts on the internet, don't you, Kramer?
They're sensationalized, yes. But
so we don't need to go to chiropractors. We just look on YouTube and can crack ourselves.
You can see people getting cracked, but sadly, it's pretty tough to do on your own.
Okay.
Chiro-baiting or self-adjusting is not necessarily what we recommend for
our home. It's a great
home.
Phrase.
These boys self-adjust or do things.
He does things to himself that I don't even understand, and I think might be illegal even in Utah.
Oh, that's funny.
Are you familiar, and I just real quick, because I will say, muscle activation therapy. Are you familiar with that?
There's a variety of different types of muscle activation therapy. There's some that are electronic. There's some that are manual and digital. There's a variety of different things.
Is that similar?
It's a component of what we're working with. And some doctors are very old school mainstream, and all they do is just move bone. That's all they do. And in some fact, there's some chiropractors that they only literally move three bones in your entire spine. That's it. Their foundation is the top three vertebrae in your neck, and that's it. But then there's others that, once again, work with other structures, bones, muscles, depending on what their practice speciality is.
I mean, my son was, doctors wanted to put him in a boot, right? They wanted to just take him off the soccer pitch for months on end and so forth. And a friend of ours, who is an athlete as well, turned us on to this muscle activation. And what you were describing seems very similar to what he experienced. And it was nothing short of a full-on mirror.
It's
the kid went in two sessions from being hobbled and borderline unable to walk to running down the hallway, and I was blown away. And it was a matter of my wife's like, "Well, do we want to do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't care what it costs. I mean, look at the benefit of this whole thing." And we passed that same name on to some other friends who were suffering from what was Sievers apothecitis or something like that. And they had the same experience. And these moms were brought to tears. And it seems like it was very similar to what you're talking about in terms of the holistic look at the way the body interacts with the muscles and the bones and the central nervous system.
Yeah, in our office, we get that kind of response all the time. That's a common thing for us to hear and a common experience that we have. And unfortunately, we get taught chemical health every turn that we go, whether you're opening up a magazine and looking at, drug ads, or you're watching TV, drug ads, you get taught chemical health everywhere, but you don't get taught mechanical health. You don't get taught physical health. And if we were to teach people, how to better take care of their bodies, then we wouldn't have a need for so many of these other things.
Yeah, I think you're also seeing that in our parents' generation. And as people get older, one lesson that we're learning is we really have to take care of ourselves. You have to stay active. And I realize it's a bit of a cliche, but you're seeing people that were active in their lives who are still very spry and still whatever. And then you're watching other people who are really struggling. So I think that's a really important point for people to take away is keep moving. As you get older, whatever it takes.
I have a patient, she's 84, she comes in and she put herself through law school at 75, and she's phenomenal. So she's out and she's, doing different things, and she comes in and she says, "Doc, my hip's starting to hurt." And I'm like, "Oh gosh, you're 80 something years old, of course, your hip's starting to hurt." And I said, "Well, what did you do?" And she's like, "Well, I like to ride my bike in my home, and so I'm working on my bike, and I decided I'm going to watch a movie." And so she puts in a movie, and she said, "Well, when the movie was done, I got off my bike, and the next day my hip hurt." And I thought to myself, "Did you watch the entire movie?" Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, it was a great movie. I got into it. And I was like, "How long was this movie?" She's like, "Oh, it was about an hour and a half, 2 hours." It's like, you biked for 2 hours straight and you're 85 years old. Yeah, your hip is sore. There's some muscle issues going on in there. I said, "Oh, let's do a little work on those muscles and see what's going on." Sure enough, next day she comes to talk. "I feel really good again." I was like, "Oh yeah, it wasn't anything significant." But age really has no bearing on patients. And so, these people that take good care of themselves, they're going to be able to thrive as they go on through life. But those people that unfortunately are sitting at home, sitting down, not doing anything, only on their computers for long periods of time, really are going to struggle.
I mean, Kramer is 74 years old. He drinks nothing but cord blood and Meisterbrow and eats nectarines.
It's a magic elixir.
Yeah, and he's got a program. He runs a seminar at the Ramada by the airport here in Sitka, and it's great attendance, and he's really got a following. How's it going?
Stay active, Kramer.
You look great.
You do.
You know what? It's clean living. That's all I got to say.
And screwball whiskey.
Yeah.
So as someone who studies this in depth, how incredible is the human body?
It's mediocre amazing. At best.
Well, that's yours.
Depends on
who you're talking about.
You've seen the $6 million man. They can build him stronger.
Yeah. Make it better.
It can make it better. Your body is capable of phenomenal things.
Time travel?
Amazing things.
Turning invisible?
Haven't figured that
Not yet.
Where do you land on nutrition? I mean, we're talking about the mechanical care, but then the ingredients you put into your body.
You look at your system as a whole and the stress that you're placing it under. And if you're not feeding your body the proper fuel, then it's going to break down. There's people out there whose diet consists of soda and chips, and that's, what their mainstay is. And unfortunately, think of if you have an animal, think of your dog. If you were to just feed your dog soda and chips, you get brought up on animal cruelty. But we have people that are doing that for their kids.
I got to go call my wife.
I think 80% of dogs in America are overweight, actually.
It's a real global concern.
Do we have a statistic?
Is there a fact check on that somewhere?
Seriously. Did you get that off Dog Fancy magazine?
I'm checking Snopes on that
it's
one.
It's just interesting because most
80% of
most
canines
people,
in America suffer from an incredible amount of overweightness by putting stress on their joints.
Most people are overweight and they overfeed their dogs, and so you have all these fat dogs running
well,
around.
Well, they dog means sexy.
It disturbs you to no end. I've noticed this for some time.
They do say your dog looks like you. So if you're if you're feeding yourself a certain way, there's a good possibility you're feeding your dog that way as well.
Can you adjust dogs?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not something that I do in my practice. In the state that I practice in, you actually have to
Like a void in the industry right now.
I've heard of animal chiropractors. They do it on horses a lot, too.
Huge horse industry. Oh, wow. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the other interesting thing. Is I have patients that come in that their horses get adjusted all the time. And I say, hey, do you want to get adjusted? And they're like, I don't really want to come in very often. But their horse gets adjusted all the time. So absolutely huge industry.
So with the statement, you are what you eat, is the truth.
Give yourself good, healthy building blocks. You will thrive if you give yourself
poison. Why am I not a Siberian tiger? What one thing I found interesting is that chiropractors take that initial x-ray when someone comes in. And a lot of times you guys, girls, chiropractors, find
folks
find cancer or some spots somewhere. What happens at that point? You're referring them to a doctor.
He is a doctor.
That's right.
Seriously. It gets back to the standard of health care that we provide for people. And yes, in many circumstances, we do find things that are outside of just the skeleton that do require other care. I had a patient about 3 years into my practice came in and he's like, Doc, you know, I've been to lots of chiropractors before. I just need to get adjusted. Can you please just get me on the table, get me adjusted? And I was like, well, let me do an exam here. And, he's an older gentleman. And so I go through a good exam and I'm like, hey, unfortunately, you really have some pretty bad joints and I do really need to see this. I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt you or cause you to have more problems. Let's take some x-rays. So we ended up shooting some x-rays, and on there, when you're taking a look at it, you can actually see some soft tissue, and one of them had some sclerosis to it, some extra bone growth essentially inside the tissue, and his abdominal aorta was bulging significantly. And I said, hey, this is not good. You really have a pretty significant opportunity to really have problems from this. So I sent him to his cardiologist. I said, hey, I'd love to adjust you today. There's no way that's going to happen. So I sent him to his cardiologist. Cardiologist said, who sent you here? Your chiropractor sent you here? What on earth is that guy doing sitting here? And he's like, he told me to come here and here's his x-rays. And he's like, oh my God, I'm glad that he did that. So a couple of weeks later, he comes back in, says, Doc, the cardiologist essentially said that you pretty much saved my life. I was a ticking time bomb, and without, further care, that I really could have actually just passed away. And so, I said, okay, did you get a clean bill of health from your cardiologist? He said, yeah. He said, I can get adjusted, and boom, we went away from there. And he ended up being a great patient of mine for a long time. Unfortunately, just passed away. But he was one of those guys that, would bring in candies for the staff, and he was just a great guy, but he was so happy because I shot those x-rays. I was able to catch something that he wasn't even coming in for. We do catch all sorts of different things along those lines.
So you work with professional athletes. How much better are they than Hambone, for example?
In regards to...
just personality.
Everything.
Physicality. Mental acuity.
Just enjoyment to be around.
Well, that's, it's a sliding scale.
If Hambone was a one...
There's some pretty high numbers out there. No, yeah, it's been a blast. I've been able to go not only work with professional golfers, but professional baseball players and professional volleyball players. So I've worked with the AVP numerous times in different tournaments. I go and train with a lot of the NFL chiropractors down at the NFL Combine every year. So I'm able to learn from people that are doing this and then take what I know from working with Olympic athletes and professional athletes and propel them to even higher levels.
Is there one commonality that you see? I mean, obviously working the various specificity with each sport, but is there like one common thing, or is there a pro tip you could give to people? Like, hey, if I could give you one piece of advice, do this, don't do this.
For professional athletes, they take incredible care of their body. And I wish I could give a more pinpoint answer to that, but they do everything they can to make sure that their body's tuned up for their performance. I was working down in an event for the AVP, and I was working on a Thursday, and the Thursday day for AVP tournaments is kind of the play-in day. The local people come in, and some of the professionals that haven't earned their way into the main draw come in and play, and so I'm not taking care of all the number one athletes there. I'm taking care of some of the people that are just really working to get on the circuit. circuit. And as I'm taking care of a lot of players, all of a sudden, all the number ones came in and all the top seeds and the Olympic medalists that you've seen on TV are coming in and they're getting care. And so I'm like, what are you guys doing here today? And they're like, well, we literally just got off the plane. We haven't checked into our hotel and we're coming down to get work on our bodies because we know that we're going to end up playing. And so we got to get right. So their number one goal, focus, get in, get off the plane, get prepared.
Make sure they're dialed in right.
Exactly right. So they do all sorts of different things, whether it was chiropractic or physical therapy, eating healthy. All of these things come together to make sure that they're able to perform at their optimum.
Speaking of the physical aspect of it, you ever had a patient come in, a new patient, and they want help, and you look at them and you go, boy, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to adjust this person because of their build or something like that.
I take care of some pretty significantly large people. I've taken care of people into 500, 600 pounds. Whoa. Think that when they come in, you might not have what it takes. But there's lots of ways to work around that. And you start learning the mechanics of a body. You find really good ways to work within the patient's means to get them to be where they need to be. And same thing when you're working with professional athletes and football players. These are some pretty big guys with some pretty substantial muscle. And you have to be able to use that to your advantage to get them to be back to where they want to be.
The thing I hate more than anything is stretching. How important is stretching?
Stretching, I always say, is the flossing of chiropractic to dentistry. You know, every dentist tells you to floss. Every chiropractor will tell you to stretch. But how many people out there are doing it on a regular basis? Everyone knows they should be doing it. Everyone knows it's good for you, but not everyone is doing it like they're supposed to. Stretching is so good for you. If you move, you're going to be healthy. If you don't move, your body starts to get stuck and those muscles start to become damaged and then you're more prone to injury. So you have to move. You have to do it.
After working on someone's back all day, does your wife expect you to come home and give her a massage? Is this something that you...
Cobbler's kids have the worst shoes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I do. I actually have an adjusting table set up in my house so that my kids, my wife can get adjusted as they need to. My daughter is now in high school and the backpack that she has to carry is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And she throws it on and I can hear spine crunch when she puts on her backpack every day. So yeah, she needs to get herself adjusted pretty regularly.
So Hambone mentioned that he has never been to a chiropractor. I'm just curious, do you have any ailments right now that you...
No, physically, I'm at my apex. mentally, I'm about 2 points off of my all-time high score of mental acuity. I take a lot of ginkgo biloba. Alex Trebek says I should, so I do. And I'm feeling great.
You're an Adonis.
I am. And I'm fast. And if this weren't kind of a podcast situation, I would show you just how fast I am.
Your body is a temple, as you've always referenced.
It's closed for renovation.
It's more of a Buddhist temple, maybe.
Right.
Eating temple those of Siberian doom, as it were. Tigers.
Does anybody else on the train wreck have any ailments? I'm just curious.
My shoulder's been a bit wonky lately. This is no joke. This morning, I was like, man, I haven't been to a chiropractor in like a year. I feel like I should just be adjusted. I will say, even when I think I feel good, it's incredible to me when I go in and get adjusted, and it's one of those, you don't know what you don't know. And when I walk out of there, I'm like, oh, I feel better. You know, I didn't know that I was out of sorts a little bit. It's kind of like the alignment on your car, you know, and it just tilts a little bit left or right. And so I always appreciate it. I probably should go more than I do, but at least I go once in a while.
So is that something you can assess now and adjust and do something for him without having to take an x-ray right now? Or is that...
I can see what I can do in there. You know, there's probably some soft tissue stuff that I can work with without having.
I'd be curious. Do a quick assessment here on Maddie's shoulder.
Maddie, go ahead and take your pants off. Yeah.
I was going to say. Step now, one. My regular Remove chiropractor your... always has me take my pants off. What's your status on that?
I didn't bring a plastic glove, so unfortunately.
Moon River.
He doesn't care.
Dr. Jellyfingers.
Do you go to a chiropractor yourself?
I get adjusted at least once a week. Mm-hmm. Many times I'll get adjusted more than that. I'm in a fortunate situation that I work in an office with multiple doctors. Mm-hmm. Most chiropractors, unfortunately, are just single doctors in a single office, and they don't have that opportunity to have someone. But I can literally go two doors down and just personally.
Is that awkward? Do you have that one doctor in the office that nobody will go to get their own adjustment horrible. Done? He's and they're like, well, why horrible. Not me? And nobody wants to go to him.
Luckily, we have phenomenal doctors in our office, very top-notch doctors.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, Hollywood, you said you go real often. Mm-hmm. What is there?
I carry my stress in my neck and shoulders. And so my guy cranks on my neck and, you know, just does a lot of things around my neck because I get headaches if I don't. So, like, if I try to go every week, and if I don't, I can definitely tell.
Once, twice,
once a week. I had him gone for 2 weeks now, and I'm like, I gotta go tomorrow.
So you can feel it.
I can feel it. I start to get really bad headache because I just get so, like, I clench and it get tight in my neck.
So what's causing that? Probably cooties or girl
germs? That's all he needs. That's the only information he needs. Yeah. He should be able to answer that question right.
Can you solve my problem?
Now fix it if you're any good. Why don't you solve this problem?
You fix everything. And I want to get pregnant. I'm an older woman. I want to get pregnant. Can you make that happen?
Absolutely. No, yeah. So,
ask my wife.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of different things that cause that. And cervical genic headaches are a really common one. Malpositioned bones in your spine leading to irritations in nervous systems. You actually have a cranial nerve that goes down and actually innervates into your shoulder. So some of the muscles in through there can lead to headache issues as well. So all of those areas, high stimulus areas into your brain can lead to headaches. Very common.
Yeah. And that's why, and people, I know people have said like, well, if they can help you, why do you have to keep going? You know, I'm like, fix you. It's like, well, stress is always going to be in my life. So I'm going to have.
We've met your husband.
Yeah. And so it's like a maintenance and kind of, you know, I just feel better when I go.
And I go back to dentistry, actually, that's kind of led the way into some of this maintenance. For people who say, yeah, I don't need to go back to a chiropractor, that's true. You know, if you just like going to the dentist, you really don't need to go to the dentist if you brush your teeth and floss and take care of yourself.
I hope my wife is listening right now. I told you, honey.
Seven tooth Betty. By the way, that's going on the back of the t-shirt. I hope my wife is listening. Maddie.
You can take care of yourself, but it's good to get a good deep cleaning every once in a while. And if you don't take care of your teeth, same kind of thing, that you're going to need to go to the dentist way more often. Same thing with chiropractic care. If you're not taking care of your body, you're not in a healthy environment, you're under stress, your body's just going to need to get cleaned up more. Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in and play a role for those type of patients. Mm-hmm.
So given that I've never been to a chiropractor, if I went in, would they just be like, I don't know what to do with this. And there are pieces here that shouldn't be here. I don't know where he got this joint. What the hell's going on here? What does that first visit look
like? This guy's got a tail, the residual tail.
So yeah, the first visit, we kind of establish what your goals are as far as why you want to be in the office in the first place. And so
it's mostly boredom.
I have
Sitka's a lonely town.
Attention and human touch are the top two for me.
I have a coupon or a Groupon.
And you can make ham bone taller.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. Right. I have my own rack at home that I stretch on. It's medieval, but I find that it's very therapeutic.
Those racks can be very effective, especially for gaining height. Absolutely.
Now, Hollywood, you mentioned headaches. My wife gets terrible migraines, and I know she was...
Usually around bedtime, right? Yeah. That's weird. I don't know.
Is there a correlation to something there?
I think it's moonlight-driven headaches, she calls it.
But she was getting pretty good success with acupuncture. What do you have comments, thoughts about that? Acupuncture, acupressure? Do you guys work hand in glove together?
It's a healing art that's, 4,000 years old. You know, there's got to be something to it. There's some benefit to it, whether or not it's as tangible as being able to do a study and reproduce it over and over again. I don't know about that. But there's plenty of patients that go to an acupuncturist that get incredible relief from it. I myself have used acupuncture. In my office, I'm pretty go and kind of a high energy guy. And I've used it to kind of bring me down a little bit. And it's been very effective along those lines. So I am absolutely a big believer of it, despite the fact that I don't necessarily practice it myself as far as a practitioner.
How is that different than dry needling? I hear a lot about dry needling.
From what I understand, dry needling, you want to stick the needle into more of a trigger point where you're looking to break up some of the adhesions into the muscle and into the tissue itself, whereas acupuncture is based off of a system of flow of energy throughout your body. And so you're looking to use needles to help out with some of the flow of energy through your body. So it's not site-specific per se. However, I know that there's acupuncture that can be more site-specific. But like I said, dry needling is really designed to get at a certain specific spot. When you look at inflammation and what inflammation does, it really causes a lot of binding to the tissue. And so if you can get in there and break that up through dry needling or through cupping or massage or kinesio tape, these are all great options of trying to break up that tissue to get the inflammation to get out of there.
So another thing that I find interesting is the idea of anti-inflammatory. When that's said to me, I often think it's just about swollen joints and things like that, but it has to do with cardiovascular health. It has to do with, the whole system. And you hear a lot about turmeric right now, right? And the curcumin in turmeric may be bioavailable with pepper and pepperine and so on and so forth. Where do you come down on something like that, those types of...
Yeah, there's a lot of great studies on turmeric that are floating about right now, and many of them are coming out as being more positive as an anti-inflammatory than some of the over-the-counter medications. And so in our office, for people who are looking for an alternative to those type of medications, yeah, turmeric can be a really good alternative. And there's some different types out there, and once again, some of the absorptive capabilities, some, like you said, require pepper, some require other cofactors to make it more absorbable so your body utilizes it properly, but it really can be a very good alternative. With any supplement, you got to be careful if a patient is on any other type of medication that can cause negative interactions with it. But when you're looking at some of the more natural supplements, there's a much less likelihood of that. And the same thing with your body and how it functions. A lot of the NSAIDs out there harping on this issue, but goes back to causing erectile dysfunction issues. And so, you know, when you're taking too many NSAIDs.
Is that your aha moment?
Creamer.
Okay. All right. Keep going with this.
Makes sense now.
Learning a lot while I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know, it can lead to other issues. So we want to make sure that your body is not only inflamed, but you're able to do the things that you want to do with it.
Inflamed.
Only and, one part. Only
and
one
we want
part
you
is inflamed.
To be able to do.
And it's not just that it doesn't work. It's weird.
Right. Well, going back to supplements in general, I mean, supplements are such a huge thing now, and I've noticed with chiropractors and some other types of doctors, they're really pushing supplements more from their office, a little bit more than I remember in the past. And supplements not being regulated by the FDA, as far as I understand, and the dosing that goes along with that. I mean, it's such kind of a weird world because there is a lot of therapeutic possibilities with many supplements. But how do you know for sure that, you know, it's legit area?
It can be a little Wild West.
It's a little Wild West.
Very Wild
West.
And unfortunately, there's really bad information out there. Mm-hmm. And there's very little regulation that's out there. Now, there actually used to be a group that did some studies on a lot of vitamins and supplements. But because there's so many companies out there cranking out different things, it's really hard to test every single supplement that's out there to know what's in it, what it's doing for you, the effective dose of it. It's very, very difficult to know exactly what's going on. So some of the major companies that actually put in a lot of money into their research and have decent studies, those are kind of ones that you want to go with. And unfortunately, you know, some of the ones that are available through easily gotten commercial means, like going to Walmart and picking up something, unfortunately, are not necessarily always going to be the best for you. And so you want to try to find as reasonably medical grade stuff as you can. But then the application of some of these vitamin supplements is also, some of the claims are very much like CBD, where you're like, that's just...
Well, yeah, even to prove what they say is in it.
Very difficult.
And people love to believe in supplements. They love to believe that, oh, this is the magic elixir here. And
unfortunately, yeah, for some people, it just simply isn't. On the other hand, there's a lot of people, like I said, we get back to what you're putting in your bodies, who are just eating garbage and they just eat terrible foods. And unfortunately, some people that think that they're eating healthy really aren't. Some of the foods that they're getting are you know, people say, oh, eat fish. Well, I'm going to go eat tilapia. Well, tilapia is a very pro-inflammatory fish. It actually causes a lot of issues with a lot of people. And so if you think you're doing the right thing, but in actuality, your body's fighting you, well, then how do you combat that? Well, mm-hmm. If your body's not absorbing nutrients, you need to find an alternative way to get them in. And supplementation can be a good way to do that, whether it's through targeted supplementation, like I've got this ailment, I need to take this specific vitamin for it, mm-hmm. or just general supplementation, like I'm just not eating enough vegetables, so I gotta do something to get those nutrients in, and taking a supplement can help out with that.
What about food sensitivities? Everybody's got unique allergies and things like that, but you hear more about food sensitivity tests. There's some, I went to a doctor recently and they'd recommended that in the form of a blood test. You know, do the blood test and we can figure out all these food sensitivities you might have that could be causing inflammation or just making you not feel well. Are those legit?
I don't do food sensitivity tests in my practice, and I have recommended them to some of my patients. People function in a non-black and white world. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of different shades and variants. And so people that might be responding very negatively to one thing, once again, everyone else in this room might not. And so it's hard to figure that out. And so by doing these testing, you can figure out where you fall on that scale of, yes, this is really good for me, or no, this is mm-hmm. really, really bad for me. The other issue is that your body changes throughout your lifetime. And so what might have been good for you 20 years ago might not be right for you now. And right. So you need to be able to roll with that and change with that. So testing can give you a good idea.
Well, I think about gluten. You know, that's the big thing over the last number of years is people have gluten allergies. That's pretty legit because it's a pretty severe reaction to gluten. And then there's everyone who's like, oh, I feel so much better because I stopped eating gluten. Well, they have a gluten sensitivity versus an allergy. I mean, or do they really? Is it just in their head?
Allergen response can be a very muted response, or it can be a very exaggerated response, you know, from very little to anaphylactic. And so knowing where you fall on that scale will help out as far as what foods you want to eat, which ones you don't.
Mm-hmm. My highest sensitivity was to romantic comedies.
Mm-hmm. Is there a move for that? Cure that?
An adjustment?
Problem?
Yeah, it's called editing the podcast.
No, but I because you think nowadays, like, I feel like every other kid has a peanut allergy. Well, and growing up, I never even heard of it. Or like gluten allergies. Or I know there's all these things now. I was like, why is it so much more elevated now? Or so many more cases? Is it just the food we're producing? Or is it like, it just kind of blows my mind.
How weaker many population?
That's a possibility, I guess. There's a lot of different factors that go into this. This is a pretty complicated one. The peanuts, to get a higher yield for peanuts, have become more genetically altered. And so when you start changing around some of the natural things that are in your environment, you start putting synthetic things into your body can go through different reactions. So unfortunately, that's one of the things that people are looking towards as being a potential cause for that. Same thing, as you start introducing more toxins into your body, there's a chance that it's going to have an elevated response. And so there's a lot more toxins that we're introducing into our children at an earlier age that we weren't necessarily introducing to them before. And so that also, some people have said, might be a lead towards having more allergen responses to different things like peanuts.
So you mentioned the PGA. What's the most common injury that you would have to...
The actual lead injury on tour is your lead shoulder. Oddly enough, that's a number one injury. So speaking of shoulders, you might actually, you know, play on tour if you've got that shoulder problem.
My golf game is horrible.
Maybe we'll get it better.
I've witnessed it. It is an abomination.
What about mental health? I know right now we're in the middle of a pandemic. With kids being home, there's a lot of, you know, not being able to be around friends, a lot of isolation, a lot of like depression and anxiety. Does chiropractor, does that play into any piece of that? Could that be helpful in anyone?
So we talk about three, you know, stresses that impact the body: physical stress, chemical stress, and emotional stress. Mm-hmm. And so emotional stress, and every study out there has shown to increase inflammation. It causes all sorts of different mechanical and physiologic problems as well. So psychological stress is huge. And unfortunately, this is also one that's not being addressed nearly as much as it should. Mm-hmm. Once again, we learn chemical stress really well. We're starting to learn physical. Emotional stress has kind of been this taboo subject that really hasn't been able to be teased out and addressed in a very healthy fashion. And so, yes, there's a lot of people out there, especially through this pandemic, that are really suffering and are not able to get care, not getting the treatment that they need. And as a result, their body's breaking down. In addition to mentally, their, you know, state is breaking down as well. One of my patients works a lot with veterans, and part of the 22 organization, in that they were saying, I believe that every 22 seconds, a veteran dies due to suicide. Mm-hmm. Which is an astounding number. That number is just absolutely mind-blowing to me. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. And so once again, if there's certain things that we can do to help out with those people to feel better, to be able to be more successful, live their lives, feel more comfortable in their own bodies, that can really help a lot as far as their mental state is concerned, because pain is very aggressive and dragging you down.
Exhausting.
It's exhausting. And so if we can get people to have less pain, discomfort, you know, live their lives more optimally, then they have a better chance out there from a mental aspect as well.
Now is a good time, I think, to introduce our second sponsor of the show, Natural Solutions by Nicole.
Oh yeah.
Kramer has yet to see the box.
No, I haven't seen the box. I wasn't here last time.
All right, Natural Solutions by Nicole sent another box of goodies here to pass them around.
Pass it around. Start with the good. Start with the doc. Start with the doc.
All right.
Fill us in on.
So we got so everything is made all natural, from hand creams to the bug spray.
Why don't we each grab one and then announce what it is?
There you go.
Well, let him pick.
Everybody touch it.
Oh, he can take a.
Everybody touch it.
Foot balm. Does anybody need some foot balm? Magnesium cream.
Hey, that's good stuff.
Oh, that's good, right? That's good
stuff. Magnesium cream.
People are very magnesium deficient.
I danced under that name in college.
Tell us what magnesium does for you.
Magnesium is used in almost every cellular pathway. It really is one of those nutrients that most people are deficient in, and it actually is a natural muscle relaxer. So taking that will actually soothe muscles quite a bit. Magnesium is very, very good. It's one of the things I tell patients on a regular basis to take. As a chiropractor, I will use the hand cream. This is fantastic. I'll keep my hands nice and soft for all my patients. Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Nice.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole. Yes. Thank you, Nicole. Smells fantastic.
And Hambone, I'll let you...
Famous
Serious last question. First time executed. You're on death row. They're going to give you your final meal. Courses. You can tell us, what are you ordering end to end? What's happening? What's being brought to you?
Would you still be eating clean?
No.
I would take a lot of candy and a lot of alcohol and just forget all the stuff that I've done for my entire life. I am right now a big fan of steak. Like, I am just loving a good bone-in ribeye.
There you go. Mm-hmm. You got to go bone-in. Yes.
I got to say that that's going to be on plate there somewhere. A little bone-in, that's the way to go.
How about sides? What are you getting for sides? Asparagus, mashed potatoes, mushrooms?
Skittles.
I love mushrooms are solid. I'm a big fan of mushroom soup, too. If you can get a good mushroom soup with some truffle. In there. Mm-hmm. Whew, that's a hard one to beat right there. I got to have some mushrooms on there. I do get greens from time to time, but I mean, you don't win friends with salad. That's just not the way that I'm going to be ending up going with a whole lot of greens.
What does dessert look like?
So dessert, I'm a big chocolate kind of guy.
I liked him.
Find some chocolate in there somewhere, whether it's some deep, dark, rich chocolate, whether it's a cheesecake, that thick consistency of maybe a cheesecake.
Flourless chocolate cake. Yeah.
Raspberry.
I almost had that for lunch yesterday. Yeah. I was very tempted. Really.
I feel like we've gotten to know a little bit more about you here today.
Hambone's big on this. He feels it really tells the character of a person.
You learn a lot. A window into their tummy.
So what is what is your assessment of this last meal then?
I think it's top notch. You've hit a lot of the classics there. And I think as we continue to ask people this question, we're going to have a compendium of interesting meals and ingredients to explore.
All right.
Well, let's wrap it up. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to the train wreck. Thanks for Dr. S coming out, talking to us a little bit about.
Thank you, Dr. S.
Absolutely. Nice work.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. And thanks to our sponsors, Zook & Lou Hats and Natural Solutions by Nicole. Until next time, train wreck out.
Out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Monthly Train Wreck. And thank you to our sponsors, Zook & Lou Hats and Natural Solutions by Nicole. Please subscribe on either iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Google Podcasts to listen for our next extraordinary interview by five ordinary people. Make sure to check out our website, monthlytrainwreck.com. We are soon to be your favorite podcast.